Welcome to MTZ Overflow Podcast. You've just finished listening to the sermon. Now let's get into the overflow. We're glad you're here.
Does your shirt say?
It says, as strong as the woman next to me. There's no shade.
Where's the woman next to you?
There's always a woman next to me.
Always?
Always.
What does that mean?
It's just women's empowerment. It's okay. Women's History Month. And so wanted to let you know, we talk about strong women. Mm-hmm. As strong as the woman next to me. She's strong, I'm strong, we are strong together. And so I just wanted to wear it. It's no shade.
It sound like you putting me as a woman next to you, and you knew you was coming to this podcast to do with me. So you just talking about hypothetically or...
No, I'm talking like actually woman. It's not a hypothetical. It's not like if a woman was next to me. Because technically, there's women outside this door and they are...
They're not next to you. I'm sitting next to you.
You're sitting next to me. They are standing next to me outside the
dancing.
Door.
They're dancing.
Dancing next to me.
Okay.
This is no shade.
Cool. Girl power.
I didn't go to HBCU.
So?
Are you wearing an HBCU shirt? Should I feel offended?
No, but I'm not saying I went to HBCU just like the person next to me. My shirt does not read that. Your shirt reads, I'm strong as the woman next to me. And I am a boy. I am not a girl.
Do you not think women are strong?
I do think women are strong.
So you can be a male champion.
So it'd be better if I had the shirt on.
Yes. You want trade shirts?
No.
Okay. It would be. You want me to get you one?
Sure.
I don't know. It was a gift to me. But yeah, it's Women's History Month. I could show a little something, show a little celebration, honoring, if you will. Because mm-hmm. So many times in our society, you know, women are, the view of what strong is so different.
Right.
And that definition. And I think that we have a really great opportunity within our generation to like redefine what that is. And knowing that it doesn't have to be doing it by yourself, nobody else around you. Like it's a community. There's people to help build us up, and
that's what's up.
And we have a lasting impact, as you know. I continue to try to advocate in our conversations. So
always, girl power. Let's go.
See.
I stand with you. I support you.
He's so good until I get into my questions. Then he gonna say something.
Let's get it.
Welcome to MTZ Overflow Podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra Thorpe, and I'm here with my forever guest, HBCU graduate, Reverend Dr. Marcus Allen. How are you today, Pastor?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a...
Everywhere I go.
So we're in our third month of the year.
Okay.
The past two Sundays, we've had guests at our church celebrating Pastor's anniversary.
Yes.
So Pastor's been here for 7 years.
Yep.
Pastor, what's the biblical indication for the number 7? Completion. So what that means is that this will be our last year with Pastor Allen here at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Just kidding. I don't know that. I know nothing. I know nothing about that. That is not, God has not given me that word.
Please do not do that.
At all. But we're like, it's been great. It's been a really good time.
The Lord has been blessing. It's been tremendous. We've been able to do a lot of work, get a lot of things done, and accomplish a lot in these 7 years. And I'm grateful.
As you should be. It's been. I've only known you as the pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church, so I don't have. I don't have any history of like what Mount Zion used to be.
Right.
So it's been great to just see it grow while I've been here and what we've been able to do. And
when did you join?
I joined 2018, I think.
18?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got here in 2016.
Then I joined in February, I think, of 18.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up.
I have to look. I saw my
certificate. So you was recent and you stuck around for COVID? Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had... So when I first came to Madison, I looked up black churches in Madison. Google is a powerful tool. And
very powerful.
And Mount Zion showed up. And so I actually came for the first 4 weeks. And I was like, you know what? God was telling me, look at some other places first before you settle on just one. Like, you're in a new city, explore some things. So I went to a couple other churches, but I ended up at Black Hawk. And I was there for, 9 months-ish?
Oh, wow.
So I was there. The piece about it for me was that I wanted to do more interaction. That's just not how the church is structured. Like, you got to come back, do additional programming in order to get some of that connection. You don't necessarily build it during the service. It's focused on worship and the word. Like, that's what they're locked in on. I realized, I was like, well, you know what? I want to be able to really connect with people, see them regularly. Let's truly worship together in the way that I wanted to worship.
Right.
So then that led me back to Mount Zion. And then I did a test of 4 weeks of, I went to Sunday service and Bible study, 4 straight weeks. And after that, I was like, you know what? This is it.
That's what's up. And that's our motto.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
And I knew, so in our church, if you have watched us online or been here in person, you know that at the end, the not call to discipleship, is that right?
When we invite people to come and join the church?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's called to discipleship.
Yes. So the call to discipleship, you know, asking people to come down, whether they want to join the church, baptism, Christian experience, mm-hmm. whatever it is that they need and desire from Mount Zion. I didn't do that at Mount Zion. I actually ran into Pastor after, and I was like, hey, I want to join, but I don't want to do the walk down mm-hmm. thing. And so then he and my friend Sheridan Blanford, hey Sheridan,
Sheridan.
They open. Mount Zion, arms open wide.
Right. Welcome.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. And then I knew the impact and power of being part of a ministry, and I joined the AV ministry. I did that at my church that I grew up in. And so then I did it here. I was like, oh, well, I can do this here. And at that time, it was just we were doing lyrics and PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the pandemic. Before the pandemic, we were talking about doing live stream.
Right.
We were talking about it, playing around, trying to figure out what pieces we needed. And then
boom.
We had to do it for real.
We shut down that Thursday. Mm-hmm. Wasn't on live at all. And that Sunday, we had to be live for worship. That was... Yeah, and then, I like looking at my memories on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing all the memories of how when we first started out, when COVID happened and sending out. I think because of you all, we was able to stay connected to the congregation, which allowed us to continue to function well as a church when people were not in the building. And I am grateful for that crew, staff of people. It was 10, 15 of us, mm-hmm. The praise team, and then musicians, and then the AV team and Dr. Peggy. We was the only ones here every week making it happen. And man, I look back on that, it seems so far away. Mm-hmm. It's only 3 years ago. For real, it was torture, but it also pushed us to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it also allowed us to carry some of the things over into church now that we didn't have pre-COVID.
Mm.
And then allow us to have more connection with the congregation and engage them more. And that's because of you all and your and two of them there's to come up with ways to engage people online, come up with ways to engage our members throughout the week and not just on Sunday morning. And so I'm grateful.
Yeah. I think as far as the AV ministry, for those that don't know, AV stands for audiovisual. We have been able to reimagine and rethink about what that looks like for service. So I give shout out to two of our AV ministry members who you will not see in service on Sunday, but they're very active online. So Dr. Kelly Harris, she is the voice of Mount Zion on YouTube and Facebook pretty regularly. She's the one commentating. She's the one putting in posts and links to communicate with our members and make sure that they continue to stay engaged. They're not just like sitting and watching. They can engage, talk back, as very much is our Baptist characteristics. Does that be the right word?
Yeah, it's a dialogue. While we're in the congregation, we can talk back to each other.
Yeah.
People can say stuff to the preacher while he's preaching. You don't have to sit quietly. You can talk.
I've definitely been in churches.
Don't name the church.
Okay. I'm not. Anyway, so I went to a Catholic church.
Okay.
And they sang their songs, and afterwards I went to clap. Like, it was just me. Mm-mm. Nobody else was clapping, which was interesting. And then the priest was giving his homily, and I wanted to encourage him because he was giving a word,
preaching.
Yeah, and nobody. I was like, I turned to my friend. I was like, hey, do y'all not talk during? They're like, no.
Mm. Yeah, it's different cultures and contexts.
It's different.
But I love it. I love to hear the people talk back to you and clapping of the hands and the running, the shouting. It's just who we are. So it's different worlds.
It is different worlds. And that's kind of the beauty of having a relationship with God is the relationship's not defined in one way. You can build your relationship any way that you desire as long as you continue to hold steadfast to the word. Would you say?
No.
I can't have a relationship with God how I want?
Yeah, you can definitely have a relationship with God how you want, but you also have to know the stipulations, the regulations, the laws, and the statutes in which God requires of a relationship with him. And I think that intentionality is that you are connected to him in your own way, shape, and form, but make sure it's biblical and not. Because I think, not that you're insinuating this, but a lot of people in your generation. You a millennial?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. A lot of people in our generation.
Y'all see what he's trying to do?
A lot of people in our generation think that we can have God but no regulations. And we say, no, I love God, but I don't love his church. It's a lot of different things that people are approving and accepting that goes against God's will, and sometimes people think that's just totally fine too. And so I would say be intentional about your relationship through the biblical text, but also just knowing how to love God the best way that you can. What's your rebuttal?
If I rebut, we won't get to the sermon.
Let's get to the sermon. Whatever. Conversation. We might need to have that type of conversation. Might invite some millennials and have a roundtable discussion about how we are developing our relationship with God.
I think that'd be a really good conversation.
We need them Gen Z's. X, which one? The one, they wild.
Z. I know Z's the one after us.
Gen Z.
And then they're like Alpha and Alpha Beta or something.
Yeah, I think we need to probably do a podcast like that. I think so,
because words are being redefined in how you approach them. Like, I had a conversation with some Gen Zers, and they were like, I was like, is romance dead? And they're like, yeah, but love is very much real in how you express love. Okay. So it's not the romance side. It's more of the, to them, like, romance was actions and love was the emotion. Mm. And I was like, These kids.
Let's do that. CT, set that up with your friends and stuff. You got your little friends and bring them in, and we can have probably get Richard. Minister Richard, and we have some type of like round table discussion. Get about five or six cameras so we can get all the angles. Just have that discussion, talking about real life Christianity when it comes with the young adults. Because millennials, we're not young adults anymore. At least, see, I'm over 40. You 35?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
Dang, girl. I ain't know you was that old.
2 years. 2 years from what you guessed. And I'm not ashamed of my age.
I know that's right. When your birthday?
July.
Oh, yeah. July what? 13th?
No.
12th?
Yes.
Ah! I was almost there.
Almost there.
And my birthday is July 30th. So.
It is.
No wonder we get along so well. Let's get to this sermon.
So talking about like words being redefined and how we view and approach it, our sermon for March has to do with old sin, new covenant. Mm-hmm. And we touch on Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. What is, so Romans, written by Prison Paul, is a letter to the church in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to them about, well, you know what? I'll let you tell us what he's talking to them about.
Yeah, so the theme for the month is Old Sin, New Covenant, which goes along with the theme for the year, embracing the new, enhancing the old. And so it's just Paul here in the book of Romans, I believe, some would suggest it's the best, not the best, but one of the greatest books in the Bible that speaks to salvation, sin, salvation, and the Savior. It tells us how to be a Christian, how to live like a Christian, and it just gives us all the information we need on Christianity as we know it today. And Paul really explains, about this sin, about what we're going through. We would say he talks about sanctification, glorification, justification, all those theological terms to really help us understand why are we a part of the body of Christ. And I think the first thing we need to look at is sin. And so that's why, this sermon comes about as we prepare for Easter and Resurrection Sunday. These weeks to come up, let's talk about why Jesus came in the first place. What was the reason? And that's because of sin. And then let's look at the new covenant. New covenant is Jesus makes this different covenant with us that he'll love us and he'll, in spite of what we're going through and what we have done, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the covenant is within the blood of Jesus.
Thank you. So you open up the sermon talking about what the devil, mm-hmm. Satan, Lucifer,
yeah.
Star of the Morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to chase you out of her. Do you know that song?
No.
So Jay-Z Carter has a song called Lucifer.
Mm.
And he is the chorus, two lines of the chorus is Lucifer, Lucifer, Star of the Morning. I'm going to chase you out of her.
Wow.
Here.
Never heard of it. I had to go listen to it.
Yeah. And then the next line is about being from New York. Says, I'm from the murder capital where we murder for capital. Mm. But he is talking about fighting the devil.
Okay.
And that's what, and I like that we are talking about him and we really are identifying who he is in this. Because there's definitely plenty of time. There's churches, there's podcasts, there's programs that they don't always dive into who Satan is. We just assume that he's a bad guy.
Right.
And that's it. Like, always, he's always been a bad guy. But he has not been a bad guy. He's a fallen angel. Is he still an angel? Like, after you fall, like, are you still... Mm. Is he still an angel?
He's the adversary now.
Okay, you turn from angel to adversary.
Yeah, he's the adversary. And so, yeah, that's... And I think that was my intention to really, when it comes to sin, where was it created from and who allowed it to happen, right? And so we looked at the history. I began to look at the history of the Bible, and it starts with the fall of Satan, right? The fall of Lucifer. Lucifer is in heaven. He's the most beautiful, most wise, strongest angel that God has in heaven.
He's number two.
Yeah. And so he decides that he wants to be number one. But God says no, and God pushes or dispels him from heaven, expels him from heaven. And he sends him to earth, and so all his purpose is to try his best to make us go against God. And everything that he does is in an attempt to shame God or remove God's glory. And so we as human beings, we as Christians especially, must be able to lean and depend on God to keep us from doing things that goes against God's will, but according to the will of Satan. And Satan is the author and the confuser of all things. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. But he has no power, right? He can't make us do anything. We have the power to choose what we want to do. And oftentimes we choose what he advertises to us. Because sin looks good, smells good, tastes good, feels good. But it's not good for us.
So you gave the example during service about being tempted. You're not going to be tempted with stuff that you don't like. Right. You mentioned a couple physical characteristics, but you also mentioned cheesecake.
It's my weakness.
But cheesecake's not coming up to you and being... So you must be going to cheesecake?
No, see what it is. Cheesecake is advertised, right? You hear it on the radio, Cheesecake Factory.
The factory.
Or you see it on TV, on the news. Not the news, but you see it on like a commercial or something. Or you hear somebody talk about it, or you hear it on the radio. It's just that advertisement or that enticement. Or you see it going, you know, you probably search cheesecake once before, how to make a cheesecake at home. You go on Facebook, what you gonna see?
Cheesecake
ads, you know what I'm saying? And that's that, what they call that stuff, the psychology of the shopper, something like that. Trying to figure out what would pull you in to buy their product. And sometimes it works for me when it comes to cheesecake. I'm a sucker. I just like the regular one. I like thick crust. I don't really like, I used to like strawberries. Don't like whipped cream. But the Cheesecake Factory is not even the best cheesecake around here. It's an Italian restaurant in Middletown. I think it's called Bellagio's. Over there by Greenway Shopping Center. You ever been over there?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's far from your house. It is far from my house, but I know what you're talking about.
They have the best cheesecake.
Okay, noted.
Low key.
They also have a black squid ink lobster pasta that I enjoy.
Mm. See, I can't be
tempted. Product placement.
I can't be tempted by that.
So you don't go? So you don't go to the restaurant at all?
I'm allergic to shellfish, so I can't be tempted by lobster.
Yes, this is fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's not a temptation for me. Now, cheesecake, that's a temptation for me. And mm-hmm. So if that's what I could be tempted by. But so that's what I was saying in the sermon. The devil never tempt you with something you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, if we look at, you know, when it comes to men and women or whatever, when it comes to being attracted to the opposite sex, he knows what you like. And he'll never tempt you with something you don't like to cause you to go to that level of sin. So we also have to be intentional about what we like and not putting ourselves in positions to be able to commit the sin that we want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I can, I understand that. But there's also the other side of like, maybe this is what's for me. I don't know why you're laughing. Like, maybe I deserve this. Maybe the Lord has given me the desires of my heart.
Nah.
No, he doesn't? Okay.
If it's sinful, I don't think God attributes to help us to accommodate or commit sin.
But you don't know if it's sinful at first.
What? What are we talking about?
We're just talking about the what shows up in front of us. The thing that is aesthetically pleasing, whether it is the person that we are attracted to, mm-hmm. or a meal of some sort, okay. or cash money.
If it's in front of us, right? We still have the responsibility to not allow the appearance or the thing to lead us to sin or to commit to sin.
Yeah.
Everything is in front of us. And like I said in the sermon too, just because you can don't mean you should.
Yeah, which we talk about David. Mm-hmm.
Get off my boy David.
I can't. He sets himself up.
What is your problem with David? He's the greatest king of all time. He's one of the greatest biblical heroes.
Hero. He's, what did he do that's heroic? Don't David, make that face.
David and Goliath?
So he did that as a kid. So we're riding off of his celebrity from when he was 13?
He brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel.
Wasn't that also when he was 13?
No, that was not. That was when he was the king.
So 13 to king. Mm-hmm. Those are only those are.
I think he goes. I think it's about 14 years. He's about 15, 16 years old when he kills Goliath. He's about 30 when he goes into as the king of Israel. He does a lot. You know, read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. It'll give you detailed information about the life of David.
Oh, I have parts of life, David's life. We have one right here.
You just want to look at it, his failures. You're just looking at his failures. This is the only real failure that's mentioned in the Bible about him. And then, of course, he counts. He does the census, and God tells him not to. And that's why he dies before the temple is built.
We talked about him killing the Amalekite.
Yeah.
That's a sin. Anyway. I understand why David is here. David is so that we can see reference. We can see ourselves. We like, yes, he is the greatest king of all time. He is God's chosen person, and he still messed up.
Right.
I understand that. I still can comment on his actions.
Okay.
I think is a part when it comes to talking about the Bible. Is there are people who are so exalted that we can't say anything about the things that they do. That is the premise and the perception of you can't speak bad about the Bible. You can't question it. You can't say anything about it.
I hope you never heard that from me.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
So we're doing this, so obviously it's not true.
But we can stand on our biblical understanding of the text, and we can stand on our own personal Greek word, hermeneutic, which is our spiritual interpretation of what the Bible is saying. And we can have what I will call your favorite people of the Bible. And David is one of mine. And if you're going to come for David, you coming for me, then I got to come for you. And I ain't sent for you. And so... and so we have that. You have your own interpretation of the biblical text. And the characters of the Bible, that's on you. You can do that. And I don't think no one should be chastised or ridiculed for saying how they feel a certain way about a particular biblical character, because all of them are flawed individuals just like all of us.
Oh, yeah. They are. I'm not denying any of that. It's just there's a lot thinking of, like, how we're unpacking this. Like, talking about the devil explicitly and specifically is not something that is typically, like, is part of typical biblical conversations. Because you want people to be excited, right. The warm, loving love of God.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about sin.
We should. And I'm realizing that even more. When I was growing up, fornication was talked about every Sunday. Every Sunday, we did this thing called True Love Waits, where all of us had to go through these classes. Then at the end, we had a ceremony where we're given a ring. I don't think that we ever did that.
The purity ring?
The purity ring. You know, save yourself onto marriage. Now, we're being honest. I don't think none of us made it. but it was intentionality there, right? Mm-hmm. It was setting a precedent, setting a purpose or a standard that we should or that we, you know, were attempting to live up to. And so with that, if we are not talking about it, if the church is not talking about sin, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok constantly push that sin. And if we're not saying that it is wrong or goes against the will of God, our kids and our adults, they see the sin of the world and saying, well, it's okay because so many people are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been convicted of that here recently, to speak to those sin. And then also, like you said, speak to where it comes from, looking at the devil's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not speaking to our people and letting them know the purpose of the adversary, then they will fall for his traps, his schemes, and his desire to cause us to fall.
Yeah, agreed. I like that is your approach now, because so much the church is fornication, bad. You can't do nothing before marriage.
Right.
And because there was like a shunning that would happen, or the feeling of being shunned and dismissed, you go into something that's maybe going to go accept you more, right? You should be able to talk about sex at church. And I'm not saying like, but you should be able to ask questions and learn to understand and seek guidance in these areas at church. Because like you said, if my church isn't going to give me the answers, then I'm going to, Google is a powerful tool. I'm going to go someplace else and I'm going to find the answers. And so I like this. This will be fun. People will be maybe people will be upset. Maybe some people will be excited to finally feel that they can like exhale and talk about it. In the sense of, you know, there's like David did it. That's not a secret. Like he used his power to get Bathsheba, which talked about entitlement, which that's a whole different conversation. And then you've got Samson, who he was in the lap of the Philistine woman, and how women, we got a lot of power, okay? We need to yield that power.
Chill.
For positivity. What? That is not, there's nothing wrong. Where's the lie? Where is it?
Continue.
So I was speaking truth. So looking at your first point, talking about the consequences of sin, and how we talk about nothing good comes from sin.
Right.
How do I want to put this? Because there are places where we do sin, but something good does come out of it. I think about people that may have had intercourse prior to marriage and a baby comes. Is the baby bad?
That's a good question. But the baby, I don't think the baby is bad, but the sin is definitely is. Especially if it's unprepared parents and we look, you know, I love black women. I believe black women are the black backbone of the community. 67% of our children grow up in single family household, which are mother led.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I grew up in a single family household, you know what I'm saying? And so what are the effects of that? You know, what are the effects on that child? We see this constantly in our communities and constantly on social media of baby mama drama or deadbeat dads. That's the results of the sin. There's nothing great about that. Now, of course, every situation is not the same. Parents, they figure it out. Some don't, some do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's always a negative consequence when it comes to sin. That even if we lie to save someone, but you still got to carry that lie.
Yeah.
Or steal or hide or cheat. You know what I'm saying? Sin, there's nothing good that comes from sin.
Yeah.
Like the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And when it speaks to wages, it speaks to working for something, exchanging something for value. It speaks to practicing and continue to be in and continue to do it. And it leads to death. And I think, you know, one is the emotional death that we have to deal with when we cause pain. Oftentimes when I preached about how people hurt you, how they lied about you, lied on you. But what about you? What about us? When you've done other people wrong, when you've been the cheater, when you've been the liar, when you've been the thief. And so after you come out of that and you really want forgiveness, you still have to carry that shame. You still have to carry that shame. Then we look at the physical death that we cause injury to ourselves, or we see all these murders taking place. This violence, this is a blood-driven culture in which we live in. And we see it all over the world, that if I don't like you, I have the right to take your life. And that is so crazy to me. Mm-hmm. I was in a sermon, speaks to how this woman, her baby daddy, I don't know for what reason, he's leaving out the house. She shoots him in the back 8 times. Hmm. He gets out of the house. The police is in the hallway. She sees the police run back in the house, close the door, shoots both of her children. Mm. An 8-year-old girl who was blind in a wheelchair. And her 5-year-old child, young boy, who was happy and full of joy, shoots both the kids and then kills herself. That is nothing but sin. The darkness of it. The pain that comes from it, and then ultimately sins lead to eternal death, and that is a death separated from God. And so if we're not intentional about avoiding or not living a life that stands in the presence and continue to practice things that goes against God's will and what God likes and what God desires from us, then we are going to suffer death, and it's either going to be emotional, physical, or eternal.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
to talk about and to take ownership of, because I think, like you said, someone else did it. Someone else is doing me wrong. But what is the wrong that I've caused, or what's my role,
right,
in the sin?
Yo, because sin, in all actuality, it's what we want. We want
sin,
to do.
Oh, we want to do it. Yeah,
we want to
yeah,
sin. And that's why it's sin, because it's something that we may want and that we may want to happen, that we want to participate in and continue to do. But God says, though, I've lived a life. I only can speak for myself, that my life has not been perfect. And yes, I've lived in sin, but I've also seen the results of living in righteousness, and I'd rather be and live in righteousness than in sin, and see the effects that God presence and power has on my life.
Yeah. And there's that shift of living in sin to living in righteousness. And I think the piece that always gets us through, the piece that passes all understanding, is that grace is a gift. Mm-hmm. And to even, I mean, I believe in a God that the woman that you just shared that did that horrific thing to her family, how the family came together. If she hadn't turned the weapon on herself and she had sought forgiveness, I believe that God would grant it.
Still. Yes. That's crazy, right?
Yeah. Because it's beyond our human capacity to think to do that. Because we keep a record of wrongs.
Yeah.
And love does not, according to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13.
Come on here, Bible reader.
Yeah, you know. So the... What these conversations and even reviewing the text and going through my own devotional, it continues to like God is the ultimate forgiver, ultimate umpteenth chancer. Like, it's just but we have to continue to come with a renewed heart and a renewed mind. And that's where, like, the grace that we get from him is unmatched, right. I think, as the children say.
Yeah, and so you look at it, look at this covenant now in which he has. He says, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we have to look at this gift. How is God blessing us to be able to engage with him even when our sin is what separates us from him? And so because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we now have this gift of life. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A gift is something that we receive.
Yeah.
We don't have to work for a gift. And that's what Paul is saying. You don't have to work for salvation, because if we had to work for salvation, we probably would never amount to what is needed to be done in order to receive it. Because the Bible says that all of our righteousness is still nothing but filthy rags. That we can try our best to do the right thing, but we'll never get it right. That's why we needed salvation. That's why in the Old Testament, they needed the sacrifice of the blood of the lamb, the ox, and doves, and things like that. And so that's why they needed it. But now we just need to accept the gift. We accept the gift, and the gift is driven by love. God loved the world, so he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then I just like that that song. We said he is a reckless love, right? Let me read it. It says,
oh, no, sing it, it chases. Sing it, sing it,
I don't
sing,
know.
Sing.
I don't know how to say. Yeah, he got me. I don't know how to sing. I really don't know the words, the lyrics, and the melody of it. But okay, it says, okay, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. Did you hear that?
When I was your foe, when I was your enemy.
Still, you fought for me. You have been so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And so just that song helps us understand this whole passage of scripture, that God's love, is dangerous, right? It has no bounds. It has no boundaries. It's ever, never ending. Yeah. And that is what allows us to get this gift of life, is the love of God.
The true example of unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as we kind of, as we wrap up here, and based off of what you said at the top, we can expect some more heavy conversations, I guess, for the rest of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got
this Sunday, we got
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry. But next Sunday, Easter Sunday.
Are we going to have a mule?
Insurance won't let us do that type of stuff. I don't know. Let me stop lying. I'm lying. Lord, please forgive me. Amen. No, we're not participating in those types of things. But Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we're going to talk about the new covenant. And talk about Jesus.
So up until this, well, no, this is the New Testament because we're in Romans.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's new sin, old covenant. So up until resurrection or to the crucifixion, people during that time were operating under the old covenant, which was you still needed to slaughter a fresh calf lamb,
pure,
for forgiveness.
Yep.
Okay.
But Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice once and for all.
So that's why we don't do it anymore.
Yep.
Do you think during those times they recognized it, or do you think it took them time to stop?
recognize what,
like that,
when to stop.
Yeah, when to stop sacrificing the pure lamb.
That's a good question.
I don't know.
You know how we are, you know, especially the church. We're normally far behind everything else in culture. So,
never. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you mentioned current, like, songs and artists and... you speak to the people where they are, which keeps us engaged for sure.
I try my very best.
Because we'd be like, did he just...
What would we do? Survivor? What?
Survivor? What's
Say
the show?
My Name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was in the sermon. Say My Name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's a couple songs I wrote. I was like, there's a song. I'll be listening.
You know, people listen to songs more than sermons. And so they can listen to a song over and over again, but some don't think they can listen to the same sermon over and over again.
Ooh.
So songs bring about, it speaks to some of the things that we're trying to say, some the ones that are theologically correct. So,
I never thought about that. But yeah, I'd be like, yep, I got it. I took the notes. Yep, I got it. Yeah. But I was actually, and then we'll wrap up. Speaking of songs, I was talking with one of my roommates, and we were talking about Schoolhouse Rock and how they, the music and what they taught through the songs just kind of resonates and keeps you, like, you continue to remember it.
Never, like, watched that stuff before.
I didn't either. So that wasn't what I watched, but she did. And so she was telling me
Power Rangers.
I did watch Power Rangers.
Oh, we are millennials, are we?
We are. So, yes. I watched Power Rangers. I watched Care Bears. I watched whatever cartoons were on Disney. I even watched some Nickelodeon stuff.
I've never been a fan of cartoons.
Really?
Like, never.
So, if you watch Power Rangers...
It's not a cartoon.
I know, but what else was available at that time?
I don't know.
Like, because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, those were mostly movies.
Yeah, I used to love them.
Me too.
I loved them.
I like pizza too.
I was Leonardo.
Okay.
No, the yellow one with the...
He wasn't yellow.
Leonardo, Michelangelo.
There's no yellow.
It is the yellow one.
There's orange, red, blue, and purple. And green. No, he's not green.
Whichever one had the nunchucks.
That was you. I think that's Michelangelo. He's orange.
That was my dude. I was him. I was always him. When we played outside and stuff. But yeah, we stayed outside a lot. And like right now, my kids know it's hard for me to watch animations. I go to sleep on most of them.
You need live action.
Shoot them up, bang, bang, as my wife would say.
Okay. Yeah, that works. All right, as we close out here, Pastor, any points for the people?
No, you have a right to choose. And as we learned in school through the DARE program, just say no.
For those that don't know, the DARE program is a drug. It's mainly drug, I think, program to discourage children from doing drugs.
Yeah. But when it comes to sin, just say no. It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. But you have the power and authority to just say no. I'm finished, but Joseph, when he's in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife is trying to force him to lie with her, he tells her, I cannot do this because you are my master's wife. He never says, I can't do it. He never says, I don't want to do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He never says, I don't want to do it. He says, I can't do it. And so there's a lot of stuff we may want to do that we cannot do.
That's really looking at the text too. When, as you were saying, like, it's not that he can't do it, right? Like, he doesn't want to do it. That's looking at the text, the details of the text, and what he is saying and what he's not saying.
Yeah, because he's in a home alone. While he's in the house by herself with him, right? You feel what I'm saying?
I could go into my biblical imagination on that.
don't say it out loud. But let's figure out why is he alone with her in the home, right? But he gets to a place where he says, yo, I can't do this. Mm. And he attempts to run, and she grabs his coat and says he rapes her. But he may have wanted to do it. Just, I can't do it. And that's what sin is for us. It's a lot of stuff we want to do, but because of who we are, we just can't do it.
Yeah. And it's hard to say no in the moment, because it can look so good. But just, it's almost like we got to think like 2-3 steps ahead in the future.
I was talking to somebody about sin, right? And for me, I can't speak for nobody else. I only can speak for myself. I don't want God to take his anointing from me. I want to be in tune with who God is and the purpose that he has for my life. So when sin is present, I always have to ask myself, would God be pleased? It's a self-evaluation every time. And if I know God is not pleased with what I'm doing, I have to run away, have to walk away. The Bible said, resist the devil and he shall flee. And sometimes you got to run yourself to not fall into the tricks of the enemy.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate this time and this conversation. Always a good time. Please continue to follow us on mtzlife.com. Check us out on YouTube, where you're watching this video, and then any of our wherever you get your podcast for podcasts. But until then, stay marvelous, fabulous, and blessed.